Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy J.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. After becoming King of the Jungle, Jim White, not that one, the one from the Telegraph, thinks it was like the perfect interview for a manager's job for Harry Redknapp. Thinks he showed all the credentials to manage young players.
He had a point, I think.
Yeah, you'll hear that.
Yeah, we had quite an interesting chat about Christmassy matters.
Well, yeah, you really brought everybody down. So I don't know if that'll do it to the podcast listeners. It was really quite bleak.
It was bleak.
The terrible accidents that befall you on Christmas Day. And Andy told us about his pocket money back in the...
Back in the day, in the old money.
So anyway, there's some sport in there as well, and here it all is.
I do have to apologise for having no notes on the Everton game last night, as we were out for our annual, where we take the lads out for a bit of Christmas dinner.
Yeah, I think he needs a snappier title, that, the annual where we take the lads out for a bit of Christmas dinner. That's like Kevin Keegan construction, that was.
Well, more in what works for us.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And well, we had a very nice evening. It was great fun. And afterwards, we found ourselves in a cocktail bar. And I did notice, actually, that all you guys ordered things like Negroni, quite sort of butch drinks. I ordered a Madame Peach.
Yeah. Cocktail. Yeah, that didn't go unnoticed, of course. Yeah.
Brilliant. But it was fun. It was a good night. So, and did see the Everton game highlights when I got back. And another brilliant bit of linesman play there. I don't know how you don't see that. I really don't. It's unbelievable. So, you know, people who don't want VAR, I don't think you're going to have any choice. It's definitely coming.
Well, no, it is definitely coming next year.
And it needs to be there because, you know, decisions like that are just, they're laughable, really. Mm. You know, you can see Walcott, he knows he's touched it, he knows he's offside, and he looks to the linesman. You think, as a linesman, don't you think to yourself, I wonder if I've got that wrong? It's fantastic, isn't it? But there you go. What can you do? What else have we got here? Yes, I think, that was interesting. See, Ronnie O'Sullivan mentioned that he wants to be an entertainer like Bruce Forsyth.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Well,
he says, well, I'm not a song and dance man.
No, when he plays snooker.
Oh, okay.
He said, I like to entertain people. Bruce Forsyth was an entertainer. Tommy Cooper, too. People just like to be entertained.
I thought he was going to do like Ronnie O'Sullivan's Play Your Cards Right or something.
Well, the Sun brilliantly mocked up Brucey, the late great Brucey, with a snooker cue.
Did they mock him up? I wondered if he'd appeared in a kind of snooker sketch or a snooker bit somewhere.
Well, it does. Well, I don't know, because they did.
It doesn't look like it's mocked up. It looks like he's dressed like that.
Well, it says how iconic TV star Bruce Forsyth might have looked. As a snooker player.
But it was very convincing Photoshop, so well done everybody there.
That's good, isn't it? Yeah, it was, actually. Just returning to the sort of incident on the weekend, it's very interesting to hear the bloke now has been identified and he comes out. And I was saying to you before the show, Paul, it's amazing that he says, I was completely out of order, but I've lost my job and my season ticket now, so everybody's got what they wanted. And you think, you really aren't the victim here, mate. You can't paint yourself as the victim. Mm. It's so wrong to do that, you know. It's not what everybody wanted. It's what happened because you made a mistake. You did something wrong, and that's the consequences. You have to face the consequences. You're not the victim. It's just incredible.
I've not seen that, Andy. I've not seen those those quotes. So, yeah.
And then a Chelsea fan wrote a piece in one of the broadsheets saying he hadn't heard any racist language over the past 20 years at Chelsea. I was like, what are you talking about? You're deaf. I mean, you know, and then he had to go and apologise, of course, because there has been. There's a lot of anti-Semitism. There's a lot of racist stuff. You know, that doesn't help, that sort of comment, you know. We all know it's there. Doing it by covering it up doesn't help, does it? What else have we got here? Oh, yeah, talking of feeling guilty, liberal guilt. This is good in The Guardian today.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a brilliant Guardian piece. Should I feel guilty about buying a Christmas tree? No. You really
just
shouldn't.
Write no on it.
I have. I've written no.
Why? What guilt is there?
Know, millions are grown and cut each year, but is this an environmental disaster?
Oh, okay.
You know, that sort of idea.
I imagine they are grown to be sold, aren't they, really? They are grown for that purpose. They wouldn't be grown otherwise because it's a massive trade in them.
No, absolutely.
You don't just happen upon them, and do you, really?
People do all right out there. Yeah. And a pizza delivery guy says he's a breatharian. Have you ever heard of a breatharian? This is someone that doesn't eat any food. They claim that they can get all the nutrients that they need from air. And that's amazing,
really?
Isn't it? Yeah.
Not
when
the race course.
Alan.
Not when the race course is in Scotland.
Not that race, no.
Hang on, I don't get it. So what do they live on then? Just
nothing.
So you say what you're living on, fresh air, and you say, that's it, yeah.
He has 100 calories a week. I don't know what that might be.
Yeah.
In the past 4 years.
Sausage roll.
He weighs 13.
He has a real splurge, does he?
He weighs 13 the end of a stone, this bloke. He says Hindu meditation lets him give up grub for 3 months at a time.
It doesn't sound healthy, does it?
Well, I don't know. I've heard it is quite healthy. You know.
I don't understand the science of that, Andy. Really, I've never heard of that before.
Oh,
it's a new one.
Breatharian. Oh, and I've heard of that years ago. Yeah.
Right.
There's flexitarians. That's people that eat meat, but only when they feel like it.
That sounds like a bit of a cop out. That can't be what it is. That's a carnivore you're talking about.
Flexitarian.
Yeah. I don't eat meat when I don't fancy it. What a strange thing to be.
It probably isn't accurate.
Yeah, it probably isn't accurate.
And although you can get, for people who aren't vegetarians, the Cornish pasty with a whole Christmas dinner in it.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that sounds good.
Do you get, is it one of those where you get the Christmas put at one end and you get the turkey and all the trimmings at the other?
No, it's pate to start with at one end.
Yeah.
The middle's got turkey with stuffing, spuds and pigs in blanket. I don't know how they get all that into just a small little pasty.
Yeah.
And the end, and the other end is a festive pud with brandy sauce.
Cool, it sounds good. Where are you getting those from?
Morrison's.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I thought you going to say somewhere sort of artisan in the West Country, not about 20 yards from the studio. Oh, okay, fair enough. But I'm prepared to give it a go. We'll get some in, shall we?
Please.
We'll have to in the local Morrison's, so we'll do that for you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
If you look at the manager's odds with your favourite bookmaker at the moment for any jobs that are going, you'll notice rather than being down among the 500-1 shots.
Really?
Harry Redknapp is moving up the pecking order.
Is he really?
And that's not because his stock has necessarily risen higher in the world of football in recent weeks, but it has generally, of course, because of his fine performance in I'm a Celebrity, where he was crowned King of the Jungle on Sunday night. So you wouldn't immediately see a correlation between the two.
No.
But Jim White, writing in the Telegraph today, thinks there was stuff that Harry did in the jungle that would endear him to a club chairman, potentially. And he's here to explain why. Are you, Jim?
I'm very good, thanks very much. Yeah. I think it was the eating parts of a kangaroo that, you know, they thought, oh, well, that'll save a bit of money on the catering bill.
It's a good theory, though, that you've got. The idea that, you know, because he was able to communicate to young people, not only on the show, but also viewers who were voting for him, that it would suggest that he's still in touch, you know, with the average age of a footballer.
Because that would be a fear, wouldn't it? Some chairman would say, oh, Harry, he's got a great experience, but maybe he's a bit old now to kind of relate to young kids of sort of 19, 20. But I think he's proved he can in that environment.
Exactly. I mean, he's on set in the jungle with a group of young soap stars, social media influencers, those kind of people. And they loved him. They absolutely loved him. If you looked around that camp, if Harry had put together a football team out of that lot, and we assume that Nick Knowles would have been the guy putting out the cones. I don't think he'd have been playing. But if he'd have put a football team out of that lot, they'd have run through brick walls for him. And I think what was really evident seeing him in the jungle was that he has that ability to empathise with people, which is actually a really important quality amongst football managers. You know, you can be a great tactician. You've obviously got to know about health and fitness and so on. But ultimately, you've got to be able to empathise. And people have thought, oh, you know, he's a pastor, he's an old dinosaur and so on. But actually, that ability to be a good guy really would make him connect with young people. And actually, you know, with these kids who are, you know, he may not know what Instagram is, you know, but never mind.
I mean, there are some fairly infamous clips online, like anybody else. You know, he's not a saint, and there's been times in his career where he's getting smacked on the back of the head with a ball at training. We all remember that one. No wonder he's in the reserves, of course, is the great line. Or gets a question he doesn't like and he thinks is unfair in a press conference. He can turn, H, can't he? But we didn't see any of that. And he's under real pressure in that environment. He's hungry. He's tired. In a lot of cases, if it's true that he hadn't really seen the show, didn't quite know what he was letting himself in for, yet you really didn't see any of that, did you?
I wasn't buying that thing that he thought.
I thought that was... you know, he was installed as favourite to win it, and I thought, no, the old Harry temper, as you say, the famous clips on YouTube of him being hit by a ball at training and so on, I thought that's going to come to the fore, especially, as you say, when you're a bit hungry and tired and so on. But no, he was really calm, he was really relaxed, and I think that... really, those experience of being a football manager really helped him in the jungle. And, you know, actually, you say, oh, he's past it, he's 71. Well, so's Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
You know, Neil Warnock's 70. Claudio Ranieri's 65. Or maybe even 67. Manuel Pellegrini's 65. And there's a reason why those guys have still got value. Mm. It's because they're able to empathise with people. You know, someone brilliant, a brilliant tactician like Roy Keane, he's failed as a manager because he can't get on with people. And I think Harry has shown that that is the most important quality of a football manager.
Yeah, and, you know, he's not mentioned in those Red Adair roles. You know, a team changes manager because they're near the bottom of the table and everybody says, oh, Big Sam. And you think, well, OK, Harry Redknapp.
He did it at Spurs, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, went into desperate. Tottenham, as he reminds us, 2 points after nine games. Mm. We were a disaster. He got the win against Bolton and ultimately took him into the Champions League.
He did it at Birmingham, his last job. Yeah. He did it at Birmingham. If you remember, Gianfranco Zola had been in there. It had been a complete disaster. They looked destined for relegation. He went in there, 3 games to save them. He saved them. Yeah, it didn't work out the next season for him. But actually, as you say, in the Red Adair role, he might actually... serve a function. Yeah. Whether he wants to or not, maybe he's got a taste for fried emu. Who knows? Maybe he'd prefer not to.
You've got two routes. If you're a king of the jungle, you've got two routes. I mean, he can go back to what he knows, football management, which he's very good at. Or he could just go on the old celeb circuit. We might see him on various panel shows or, you know...
Yeah, he probably will.
He might be doing, like, Bake Off and stuff like that. So he's got...
Bake Off?
You know, he'd be all right. You know, Celebrity Bake Off or something.
Lads, imagine him on Bake Off. You know, Sandra has cooked... He can't even boil an egg. Come on, it would be hilarious. Sandra has done everything for him in the past, as he admitted when he was in the jungle. You know, he wondered whether he'd be able to survive without her. So, you know, spectacular performance, but actually a reminder of what is important in football management.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's also thought, he said Arsene's not up to much at the moment. He should go into the jungle. Maybe they do French. French, I'm a Celebrity. I mean, we'd love to.
Thought of that.
Yeah, he'd be good.
I hadn't thought of that. You're absolutely right, Arsene. He'd be great in there. Yeah. He'd be really good. The only problem is, you know, you know, when they came to cooking, he'd never actually get round to boiling the pot. There'd be a lot of preparation and never actually any delivery. That's the only problem.
Yeah, that's exactly what that was.
What about Jose? That solved one of your problems.
Yeah. Start a petition. See if you can get 100,000 signatures.
Let's not go there. Let's not even go with Jose. Jose in the jungle, that would be a really scary prospect.
The other thing Harry said was, he thought it was the jungle experience would be brilliant for football clubs to do pre-season as a kind of team bonding exercise. I mean, the idea of a couple of players facing each other and eating sort of whatever, eyeballs, etc., could be good for team spirit once the season got underway. I mean, that's interesting, isn't it? They say another use for the jungle.
Mm. But also the program has developed, because when it first came out, it was basically an opportunity for people to gain revenge on celebrities. And again, I thought that's what was going to happen with Harry. I thought every Southampton fan in the country was going to gain revenge for the fact that he'd walked out on the club and make sure that he did the bush chucker trial. But now it seems to be a place where you can go and celebrate your niceness. Yeah. Really different change in the way the programme has developed, I think.
Yeah, and it's not affected the figures, is it? Really, it's been a successful year, so maybe that's the future of it. So, fantastic.
And I think, you know, on a wider thing, you know, she's May. Get her in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think she'd.
Well, that's next year, obviously. At the moment. Yeah, and that probably will happen next year.
Jim, thanks very much.
Brilliant. Lovely to meet you, boys.
There we are. That's the Telegraph's Jim White there on what the jungle has done for Harry. Yeah, maybe there are some chairmen out there of putting back on the old shortlist, and they should do, because, as we said, he's got a few clubs out of trouble, including mine.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Morning. Yeah, sorry about that.
A long gap there.
Andy, he wasn't in the loo.
Don't blame me.
No, he wasn't in the loo with the Daily Mirror under his arm, like, as can often happen in the morning. What? He says, what? I'm here, aren't I? Music's been playing for about 20 minutes, Al. You're here now. Back tomorrow at 6, of course.
Ish,
yeah. 6 for 6.30. Drinks at 6 and then 6.30 for the bacon butty or the sausage with mustard, which we understand he has now.
No bread.
On the no bread pre-Christmas, maybe because he knows if he has bread he's gonna have to run for 16 minutes.
This is a good
story. Victoria was just breaking the news news, telling us that story there, and I think we're going to speak to a boffin possibly tomorrow about this, to look at the science behind it. But the idea that it says here, if you have one thick slice of turkey, you need to either walk for 16 minutes or run for 8 to work it off. I mean, if we have our Christmas dinners in our tracksuits and you have a nice big thick slice of turkey, immediately go out and go for an 8-minute run, come back, and you have three large roast potatoes, then go out for a 14-minute run, then have your pigs in blankets, go out for a 6-minute run.
You'd be fit ill.
Then you have your Christmas pud and you go out for an 110-minute run, and then have a mince pie, have a 20-minute run, and then be violently ill.
You would be. Well, I think you'd be violently ill the whole time.
Yeah.
So you can't run after you've eaten. But I think you'd be lucky to get any turkey, according to the Daily Star.
Is there a turkey shortage?
Oh, there's a shortage fear as killer bug hits stocks.
Okay.
A Brit's Christmas dinners could be ruined. They won't be. Could be ruined by a shortage of turkeys. I bet there isn't. Anyway, so that's what they're saying, but I'm sure there won't be.
Well, we've got one on order. So I hope he turns up, being knocks on the front door with a spotted handkerchief on
his stick. 6 out of 10 people will not be having turkey, you know, because they were going for the sort of plant-based Christmas. And, of course, Tinsel, he loves vegans.
Well, he's a massive. He's, I think he's head of the vegan society. Turkey Association. Yeah, he's right behind them. He's a big promoter. He'll like our chat with Dale Vince, old, won't he?
Yeah,
he'll love that. The Forest Green like chairman. He's a mass. He's a Forest Green fan now.
He is.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of Christmas stories around, of course, as you expect this time of the year, and nothing sacred because apparently Rudolph's red nose.
Yeah.
Would have looked green to other reindeer because the reindeer are colourblind.
Who's bothered? I mean, well, you know animals still see colours different. My viz, not wearing it, but it works on a road gang.
So when he sees it, he gets a bit angry.
Sees anybody. Sort of, yeah. I'm hoping if maybe Barcelona wear that bright yellow kit tonight, be barking at the telly all the time.
No, they were
for Lionel's legs.
They're going to wear their normal kit. Yeah, but the pink one they wore the other day was
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, he's got this. You go out somewhere. And they've walked her in the past. And, of course, the naughty boys who are there doing a little bit of community service, picking up the litter in the park. She homes in on them.
Oh, really?
But they show themselves very often to be dog lovers.
Oh, well.
So whatever they've done, they are dog lovers.
That's nice.
That's what I've discovered. But, you know, she goes steaming in like some kind of police dog, violently barking at them just because they've got yellow bibs on.
It's true. I don't know what's wrong with the Times. They've got a weather forecast. There's nothing like the Stars when we talk with John Kelly. They say today will be misty at first, but turn brighter. Where's the scare in that?
Yeah, well, come on, we need a bit more of a scare, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. Eden Hazard has dropped one of his massive hints about Madrid. You think, well, I think fair enough, as long as he doesn't go in January.
Was it that old one where he's wearing a Madrid shirt and just sombrero over the donkey under his arm?
You know I love Madrid, he says.
Dressed as a matador, was it that one?
No, well, Monte Fresco.
Yeah. In the old days, that's what you would do, wasn't it? Yeah. Dear old Monty was taking pictures and you'd get a player to dress up in the style of the club he was either playing for in a cup final or about to sign for.
I tell you what I have got for you. It's a very interesting thing that came up yesterday. Of course, I can never actually... Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
These are the sort of injuries that you can get at Christmas. So you'll like this, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is it's done by the numbers. So 4 was the age of a girl who put a metal bell in her ear so she could listen to Jingle Bells, and a 36-year-old swallowed a drawing pin when he sneezed. Well, that could happen any time of the year. It's not particularly Christmas.
These Christmassy things, are they?
Six is the number of chocolate oranges wolfed down by just one dog, which, of course, is very dangerous
it's not
for
good,
a dog.
Yeah,
you know,
chocolate, yeah.
11% of people who have burned themselves with hot cooking fat. What is this? About average, wouldn't it? You think of all these people cooking. The number of days spent in hospital by those injuring themselves putting up Christmas lights, 15.
This is research. Do you want the horse's mouth situation, as Glenn would call it?
Yeah.
Nurse told me once, Christmas Day, dog bites and asthmatics.
Oh, really?
That's the main thing. Everybody's jumping
dog
around.
Bites. Oh, so the dog
family
gets overexcited.
Overexcited. Yeah. Everything's going on.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
And so the dog bites because the dogs get to it. And for whatever reason, all the excitement brings on quite a lot of asthma attacks.
But this one, look at this, in a 13-year...
And you'll be covered in my new book, Dog Bites and Asthmatics.
Yeah. What a great book. During a 13-year period, 26 people died watering their Christmas trees while leaving the lights on.
Oh, that... Really?
Seriously. That's terrible.
Darwin Award situation, isn't it?
No,
really? They are electric lights. After all, they're plugged in.
And you'd expect a certain amount of people to be affected by food poisoning. And
You're making have yourself a merry little Christmas. You got anything else?
Do you not like these? I'm quite fascinated.
I am fascinated.
How people could get injured over Christmas. 35% of people are allergic to real trees.
Okay, yeah.
Obviously, house fires because of tea lights and candles. That's always a risk.
It is. I don't think I'm going to bother. It is bleak. The producer said, you may have heard him say, this is bleak.
Is it bleak, is it? All right.
I'll go on, carry on. It's bleak, but
I'll carry on.
I quite like them.
200 people will hurt themselves due to not removing all the pins from a new shirt. It's amazing, isn't it? But you think about it, because it's easily
done. Oh, the humanity.
It's easily
done. What kind
of
damage are you going to likely... You're just going to go...
Boom!
You go, oh, that's it. Oh. Then you'll take the pin.
You're not going to end up in hospital, are you, with this little
pinprick
in the neck or something like that? I don't think...
Unless you've got a very low pain threshold.
350 are the number of people injured in the UK every year putting up lights through falls, electric shocks and kids swallowing bulbs. How does that happen? Really? Okay. 1,000 people are injured by their Christmas tree.
Is this
every year?
What, it falls on them?
Yeah. basically trying to fix decorations, and it falls on.
Well, I can understand that people get on. Get sort
of or standing barefoot on a broken bauble,
putting up their lights outside.
That's right,
imagine
Brian Verdondi, that is. Yeah. Barefoot on a broken bauble.
There will be a few people obviously putting up the lights outside. I did ours the other day, and you're up a ladder there, and you think, well, you know,
Of course, absolutely. Of course. So, and yes, 2.6 million people have injured themselves. Not last year, but over the years, while falling off a ladder, as you've just mentioned, Paul, putting up the Christmas decoration. So the net thing there, was the lesson to be taken from that is be careful out there, as they say it on Hill Street Blues.
As they say, you've become very West Country since you started vicariously supporting Torquay.
Yeah, it's very
got
true.
A bit of breaking news for you, actually. Okay. Lord Herman Ouseley, of course, who set up Kick It Out, is to step down after 25 years. It's going to be at the end of the season. He'll be standing down. Nothing to do with recent events.
Because he was obviously, as he always would be on the
situation. Spokesperson over the last few days.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
So, Lord Ouseley's done a sterling job, of course. Well, I didn't mean it like that. He's done a fantastic job, is what I meant to say. There was absolutely no pun intended.
No, absolutely.
Certainly did do a sterling job over the last few days. Will be standing down after 25 years. And that is sort of some legacy, really, because they do fine work.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I wonder if the listeners have still got that. Maybe you go and see your nan or something every so often, and then she'll kind of give you a fiver. Do you know what I mean?
Well, obviously I can't.
Yeah. Well, it'd be difficult, really. It would be difficult, really, via a medium, of course. But there probably are people, the listeners out there, here, look, buy yourself a drink. Now I don't need it. I'm a hedge fund manager. You know, just really, I kind of live in Virginia Wharton overlooking the 18th. You know, I'm worth about 40 million a year. Go on, get yourself something nice.
There we go.
Maybe you still get money for goals, even as an adult playing Sunday football. So if you're still being treated like that, let us know. The little bonus that you are still paid, that's maybe a hangover from your youth. TalkSport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089. You can tweet to TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. And we'll bring you the best of those before 4 o'clock. I'm sure there's a few out there like that still get a little treat.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
Why not?
You used to go and see your nan. She'd say Rolls Royce or something.
No. My grandfather used to come over every Sunday and give me half a crown.
Did he?
Yeah. That's a long time ago.
That was a lot of money. That was a Paul's win there, wasn't it? What would you do with it?
Save it or spend it at the sweet shop. You know, something
straight
like
down.
That.
We just straight down the sweet shop.
Or I'd put it together for a record. You know.
Really?
Oh yeah, single. Marvellous. Yeah,
what was the first single you ever bought, Andy? Can you remember what it was?
Hello Little Girl by The Foremost.
Well, I did ask.
You did ask.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
I even remember.
I don't even know that song.
I would sing it for you, but, you know.
Can we find it?
It'll make you ill.
Excellent. So we'll find it. It's called
Hello Little Girl by The Foremost.
By The Foremost. What year would this have been?
About
1620.
64, something like that. 60.
Okay. It's a madrigal, says the producer. Yeah, it's kind of got a massive, really good lute solo. Yeah, it's very, very good.
Yeah,
so
we're in about 12.
See if we can find
like
that.
Yeah.
Mine was Give Me Just a Little More Time by the chairman of the board.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I love that. That's great.
Closely followed by, I think the second single was probably Back Home by the England squad in 1970.
Really?
Yeah, quite possibly.
Okay, here it is. Hello, Little Girl.
We're going to find, we're going to play it.
I think
in a minute.
The Beatles did a version of this as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why didn't wrote it?
I don't know. Why didn't I buy the Beatles version?
It would be worth a few quid.
It was written by John Lennon. Yeah.
Oh, what about that?
That was in 1957.
So it's a beat. What, by John Lennon in 1957?
Composed by John Lennon, according to Google. I mean,
we may look into that. We need the Beatles completists out there for that one. Well, anyway, you could well be right. So anyway, we will play you that a little bit later on. It's apropos of absolutely nothing. We will return to the sport. As we said, we'll look into the football tonight and a whole lot more.
1963. Oh, golly. I was 11.
Yeah, you were 11 years old and you went out with all those half a crown saved. I mean, a single then.
6 and 8, I think.
Is that what you...
I'm doing this delivery to annoy the producer.
Ask your granddad, kids. 6 and 8. Don't tell Mimi. 6 and 8. So anyway, we are looking this afternoon for those little treats that you still get, even as an adult now. TalkSport.com, text 81089. Tweet to TSHNJ. We got it. Here it is. Hello, little girl.
When you're passing on your way, I say,
oh yeah, you could imagine. So it was originally a very, very early Beatles song, was it?
Or a John Lennon song, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would have been covered in the Beatles, wouldn't it? I would have thought.
Hmm.
It is the first song written by John Lennon, apparently.
There you go. Yeah, well, see, I had taste even then when I was 11.
1957, you're absolutely right. And was used as one of the songs that the Beatles did in their unsuccessful Decca audition, where the bloke said, yeah, now we'll pass if that's all right. Stu Sutcliffe on bass on the original. But Andy, had you bought the Beatles version?
He was the same bloke that said De Bruyne wasn't very good. Oh, no, that was Jose Mourinho. Sorry.
That's the one, yeah. The bloke from Decca thought De Bruyne wasn't very good, certainly. So, yeah, it's the foremost version. Mm. So, that's probably worth fourpence halfpenny. And the Beatles version is probably worth about 10 grand. So
well
done
true.
On buying the foremost version. So there we are. Little trip down memory lane.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, all those 2s and 6s went to.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show.
Apparently pocket money now, on average, for a sort of 8-year-old, was about £6.50. So they say, I Googled it.
Right.
Which, I mean, I used to get the equivalent of 12.5p.
But you used to go, you could buy a 2-bedroom house with that sort of money then, couldn't you, really? So these were different times. Okay, we will catch up with you tomorrow from 1. Thanks for downloading us, as always.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.